it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Look out! Rondé! He needs 23! He's across the 40! Open up the history book! Here comes Rondé!
What kind of mythical powers does a Sun Devil have? We gotta consider that.
It's embarrassing, but we are who we are. We're not a very good team, but we're 3-1 somehow. And we got all the voters fooled, thinking we're pretty good.
Jaworski Lane at 275 pounds showed a heck of a lot of athletic ability.
Let's talk some college football, John. All right. We had a fun week, too. Alabama, Texas turned into a much bigger fight than we thought it would. Not going to touch on Washington State, Wisconsin at all. We're just going to gloss right over that. Mm-hmm. I have no thoughts. I don't want to talk about it. But you know, week three, kind of similar to week two, where you don't have these like massive marquee matchups that we saw a couple weeks ago. But we still get Miami, A&M. That's a ranked game. We still get BYU, Oregon. That's probably the featured game of the week. You know, your Dogs are on the road at South Carolina, but take me through, you know, the games that you have your eye on from a betting perspective.
Yeah. So this is one of those weeks where college football, like just the product itself is going to have to outshine the names, because there really aren't the big marquee ranked matchups. And, you know, a lot of the luster off of the A&M Miami game gets lost because of A&M falling to App State at home last week. That's an interesting one, you know, with Miami coming in as 5.5 point underdogs in that one against Texas A&M. That, I guess that you know, almost qualifies as the game of the week. Like you were saying, there are a couple there. How does Nebraska respond after firing Scott Frost in a situation that was so bad that they couldn't even stomach three more losses after stomaching tons of losses? Still couldn't wait till October 1st to cut that buyout in half before parting ways with old Scotty. And then, Nick, did you see the clip of Frost sliding down the railing of the athletic facility? Yeah, that was.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that was some, like,
I thought it was like a deep fake at first. I couldn't believe that it was real, but it was.
Yeah, so that was you know, that it looked like a high school bully from an 80s movie or something. Yeah. You know, after like getting detention or like leaving detention or something. But anywho, looking ahead, lines that I like for this weekend. I like Ole Miss -15.5 at Georgia Tech. I know that Ole Miss has kind of played a musical chairs with its quarterback room. I think that is more some respect and some deference to Luke Altmaier, but I think that Jackson Dart is ultimately the guy for Ole Miss when Ole Miss decides to start taking things seriously. They've obviously just played Troy and I forget off the top of my head last week. So that this is the first like real-ish test that they have, and it's here in Atlanta. But Georgia Tech, I don't really feel like is equipped to stop Ole Miss. So, and I think Ole Miss's defense is going to really be a lot of trouble for this Georgia Tech team. So I could also understand the under in that one. If you get it at 64, I like taking the under on Ole Miss versus Georgia Tech. I like BYU versus or BYU +3.5 at Oregon. I feel like that might be a very public side, but I do believe that Oregon just simply is a step or two behind where they were a year ago. I think there's still some kinks being worked out. I think that, you know, we're not going to see what we saw in week one, Georgia against Oregon, but I think that BYU is a very physical team. I know they're coming off of an exhausting game against Baylor last weekend at home, but if they get one of Puka Nacua or Gunnar Romney back, I think that they're in really, really good shape here. And I think that they showed last week by beating Baylor without them that they can still get it done, regardless of those guys' statuses. So I really do like BYU in this one. They're sacking the quarterback. They're looking good. And then, you know, almost akin to your Jags fadage, anytime that Maryland plays someone with the pulse, I'm going to bet on the opponent. And This week, the Terrapins do have someone with a pulse. They're playing SMU at home. SMU can score points. And we've seen Talia Tagovailoa just really turn into a pumpkin sometimes when the pressure is on. He's very, very erratic. He can either turn in these great games like he did these first couple weeks of the season. But anytime that the defense is even moderately tough, we start to see him turn the ball over. You turn the ball over to SMU, they're going to penalize you for it. They're going to score some points. So I would consider SMU on the money line, and I definitely like them to cover 3.5 in College Park. So pony up for that one.
Yeah, literally pony up, and yeah, pony up for SMU. Thoughts on A&M Miami? Obviously, A&M coming in ice cold, as cold as it gets, having lost that game to App State last week. I mean, all but knocking them out, you would think, of the title race, a team that a lot of people had as a potential dark horse. But can they bounce back at home against Miami?
Well, they need to. But I think that last week was so unnerving. If you're an A&M fan, like you kind of have to question so many things, because there's so much positive momentum coming into the season just about this team. But I think a lot of it was a little bit misguided, because a lot of it was tied to this recruiting class. And like, yes, it is on paper the best recruiting class ever, but what is a recruiting class in 2022 if it's a 22 class? They're all freshmen. They're all true freshmen. Like, you can't just expect these guys to be your top contributors, top to bottom. So it's, you know, if these guys all stick around College Station, and you know that's not a guarantee at this point, even if the NIL deals are so good that, you know, that they are going to end up sticking around. But I think for this year, it's a concern. I think that the problem really starts with the offense. I don't think that they're particularly deep at receiver. And I think that, you know, as you can imagine, I don't think Haynes King is the guy. He won the job coming out of camp last year, looked pretty bad before he got hurt. Hasn't looked good this year either. You have Max Johnson, who I think has the processing speed of like a 2006 desktop, just really just so slow with his decision-making in the pocket. Then you have five-star Connor Weigman, who I guess is not quite ready yet to play. So they have this stockpile of talent. They don't seem to know how to use it. And I'm just concerned about the way that this season goes for A&M. I think that, you know, that they will turn it around. I think they should win at least 8 games, but you know, I think that Arkansas is a better coach team. I think that Arkansas can beat them. I definitely think that Alabama is going to beat them and then some. So that game's coming up next month. As it pertains to this game, you know what? I'm going to ride that negative momentum. I'm going to say that Miami goes into Kyle Field and gets it done as 5.5-point underdogs. So got to keep an eye on Miami. They did just lose Xavier Restrepo, their number one receiver. But Tyler Van Dyke, if he has room to time to operate here, I do like his chances of you know, making it work against this A&M secondary. So I will go with Miami to cover the spread in this one.
Major is Miami back potential if they win this game. I think the bar like continues to be lowered as to what could possibly define them being back. But I think beating A&M, even after the loss that A&M took last week, would be enough for that conversation to get started yet again. But good breakdown, as always, my man. You can find the college football chatter in our RotoWire college football podcast feed. We'll keep it at the end of the RotoWire sports betting podcast as well, sponsored, of course, by BetMGM. Thank you to everybody for listening. Last week, we did great numbers. We're hoping to keep this thing building throughout the year. John and I will be back this time, previewing week 3.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at BIOPTIMIZERS.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.